This is the 18th in our series of studies in the book of Daniel, and I've entitled it, Nothing Accidental Here, a study in effective prayer on Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 through 23. Nothing accidental here, a study in effective prayer. Probably most Christians are of the opinion that prayer is a good thing, but are pretty haphazard in getting results. Although the Bible doesn't give recipes for successful prayer, such as first do this, second do this, third do this, fourth do this, no recipes, but it does teach that answered prayer is no accident. In a most unlikely place, the context of one of the most important prophecies in the Bible, we find a lived-out example of focused, biblical, successful prayer. My purpose in this study is to encourage you to pray more and to pray more biblically. We've treated Daniel 9 with its far-reaching prediction of the 77s in detail, emphasizing the textual and theological connections between what Daniel asked for and the prophecy revealed by the angel Gabriel. Clearly, Daniel's prayer brought significant results. So I have 20 observations on the elements of prayer found here, and I think they constitute characteristics of godly prayer that pleases God and brings answers. So let's read the text of Daniel's prayer up to the point where that great prophecy is given. Daniel 9:1. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, and he began to rule in 539, so his first whole year was 538. He was a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, that's Jeremiah, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed. Now, I want you to start to notice the words that are so descriptive of Daniel's attitude and Daniel's approach to God. We've already seen them. He pleaded, prayer and petition, fasting, sackcloth and ashes. I prayed and confessed. So here is his prayer with confession. O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands. His covenant of love is his promise, going all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to bless Abraham and his descendants, and all the details that accrued to that original promise. We have sinned, done wrong. We have been wicked. We've rebelled. We've turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous. But this day we are covered with shame. The men of Judah and people of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. O Lord, we and our kings, our princes, and our fathers are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God, and kept the laws he gave us through his servants the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. He goes all the way back to the Pentateuch, law of Moses. If you will not obey, you will suffer hardship. Verse 12, you have fulfilled the word spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing upon us great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does. Yet we have not obeyed him. Now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand, he appealed a moment ago to the covenants God made, promises God made, and to Moses, writings of Moses, the Pentateuch. Now Israel's history, the escape from Egypt. You brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day. We have sinned. We have done wrong. O Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away from your anger and your wrath. Turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our fathers have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, O Lord. Notice this is not for Daniel's sake or even his people's sake. For your sake, O Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. For your sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to you to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, an answer was given, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the message and understand the vision. And then there follows the great prediction of the 77s. So my 20 observations, I encourage you to read this text carefully on your own, to meditate on it and find many more. Verse 1, he says, in the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom. Daniel was a real man living in real history. In a confused time, he made it his business to take an important issue to God. The time of this prayer is located in history. We know the year. He was a real man living in historical times. A second observation about the excellence of this prayer in verse 2. He says, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet. 70 years of captivity. Daniel used scripture as the basis of his prayer. As he studied Jeremiah's words, God used that text to give him understanding and a desire to pray. Studying the Bible makes us want to pray. Studying the Bible brings conviction of sin, and we see that all over the prayer. Brings confidence in making requests. He could plead with God confidently. And brings understanding of what God is doing. Interestingly, in this chapter, the prophecy that comes is connected with a deep spiritual life in Daniel. And we look at verse 3, a third feature of his prayer. He came in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. That's a sign of grief, a sign of repentance, a sign of self-examination that ends up saying, I am a great sinner. His first response then to his understanding of the fulfillment of the 70 years, as he saw it in Scripture, was, I am a guilty sinner. Now, think through the book of Daniel. He was in some ways a hero, and yet he sees himself as a guilty sinner. He came in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. We can say from this that successful prayer admits what we are like. A fourth observation in verse 4. He addresses God as, O Lord, the great and awesome God. This is his second response to his realization of the ending of the 70 years of captivity. His response was, You are a great God. Daniel operated with the right theological estimate of who God is and what he is like. For many decades now, we've suffered with the false view of many that God is our buddy. Jesus is our pal. Not so with Daniel. He addressed the great and awesome God. Verse 15. Daniel's response, and he doesn't begin this until verse 15. It's his third response, and it's petition. Third response to the understanding of the 70 years expiration in Scripture was petition, but only after his confession. He confessed, and only then was he able to ask. Back in verse 3, it says he pleaded with him in prayer and petition. We've not listened to your servants. Is this the verse, right verse? Let's see. Yes, I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition. Pleaded with him. Daniel is intense about getting an answer. Interestingly enough, it takes over 2,500 years to get an answer. But God was pleased to answer him with a huge prophecy covering more than 2 millennia. He's intense about getting an answer. I ask you to notice the ways in which he characterizes himself and Israel. In verse 5 and following, He uses the words sin. We've done wrong. We've been wicked. We've rebelled. We've turned away. Verse 6, we have not listened. Verse 7, unfaithful. Verse 8, sinned against you. 9, rebelled against you. 10, we've not obeyed. 11, transgressed, turned away, refused to obey. 13, have not sought the favor of the Lord our God. Have not given attention to your truth and more. He covers all the bases. He does not purport to come to God lightly. He covers everything. He has thought it through. And he confesses all the ways in which he and Israel have sinned. Verse 7, number 8 in our pieces of the prayer that are effective. He correctly contrasts man and God. He says, Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. You are righteous, we are covered with shame. The men of Judah and the people of Jerusalem, all Israel, both far and near, in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you, Judah, Jerusalem, and Israel, the northern kingdom. He prays for all of God's people, not just for Judah in captivity. This day, even 70 years after the Babylonian captivity began, pride still existed in the exiled Judeans, and he identifies it. Number 9, in verse 11, Daniel indirectly acknowledges that the Bible is true. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. The Bible is true. You have brought to pass what you predicted. For prayer to be effective, we need to hold to the inerrancy of Scripture. Otherwise, we do not have a trustworthy word from God and cannot trust his promises. Prayer that pleases God expects him to act in accord with what he has said he will do. Otherwise, why bother to pray? Prayer is based on Scripture. Number 10, in verse 12, he says, you have fulfilled the words spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing upon us great disaster. Daniel admits that Israel deserved what she got. Do we admit that our sin brings hardship because of what we do? We deserve the hardship that we get. Number 11 in verse 13. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us. Disaster. He reviews the previous 70 years, destruction of Jerusalem, deportation, suffering, away from the land. All this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. Daniel admits that Israel did not learn from God's chastising 70 years. Judah, southern kingdom, the people had seen what God did to the northern kingdom, Israel, over 100 years earlier. They didn't learn from that. They didn't learn from their own captivity. God was right, and he does what is right, always right in what he does. Number 12, verses 15 and 16. Now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned. We have done wrong, O Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts. Turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our fathers have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Studying Scripture and therefore knowing what God has done in the past brings confidence and courage. To pray effectively, we have to know Scripture. Number 14, my numbering's been off a little bit here in your notes, but number 14 for verse 17. Now, O our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, O Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. What does he not say? He does not say, for my sake. He does not say, for our sake. He says, for your sake. Prayer should ultimately be designed to bring honor to God, to please God. Number 15, verses 17 through 19, he says, Now, O our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, O Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary, Jerusalem, in ruin. Give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, listen, O Lord, forgive, O Lord, hear and act. For your sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. Now that's great spiritual boldness. He says, Lord, uphold your name. First of all, he understands what God's name means, points to God's very nature and his existence and his holiness. And then he appeals to that, to God, to act, to uphold his own reputation. And obviously, he's not chastised for that. He's on the same wavelength as God. God allows no competition, allows no one to say he is like himself. He is absolutely unique. Daniel understands that and appeals to it. And that pleases God. And he also is appealing to the covenants God has made with Israel. You've built up Israel. You've blessed Israel. The city bears your name. You've made promises to Israel, to Jerusalem. Bears your name. I appeal to that. Prayer counts on the faithfulness of God regarding his promises. Then number 16, verses 15 through 19, Daniel understood that God does not have to answer, but can be appealed to him on the basis of his mercy, his covenants, and his history. Let's look at that 15 through 19 part of it. Now, O Lord our God, have brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Verse 16, O Lord, in keeping with your righteous acts. Verse 17, your desolate sanctuary. Give ear and open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. He understood that God does not have to answer, but he can be appealed to on the basis of his mercy, his covenants, and his history. God's nature, God's promises, God's relationships are a big part of this prayer. Number 17, verse 19, he says, O Lord, listen, O Lord, forgive, O Lord, hear and act. For your sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. Obviously, it is not improper to request urgent action from God. God understands that we live within time. Minutes and hours are going by. Daniel felt deeply for the ongoing suffering of his people, and he requested urgent action. Notice the three exclamation points in the NIV text. Listen, forgive, act. Number 18, verse 20, Daniel says, While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord God, Lord my God, for his holy hill. Throughout the prayer, we find confession and requests for others and request for forgiveness for himself. So one thing to ask for forgiveness of ourselves, that's good. Asking for forgiveness for other people shows our compassion for them. Requests for forgiveness are always appropriate because we always sin. Verse 20, Daniel specifically includes himself, something that's not clear earlier. So in verse 20 he says, "While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel," includes himself. It was always we before. We might not expect this of him, since nothing negative is said about Daniel in this book. But he knows his own heart. Can you imagine Daniel reading that whole complete book about the great things that God did for him and the great things Daniel accomplished? Did he ever for a moment say, "Well, look what I did. Look what I did." He didn't even say, "Look what God did through me." He sees himself negatively. Sees himself negatively. "I have sinned." The 20th point, as soon as you began to pray, an answer was given. Gabriel tells him, the answer began to come before Gabriel announced it to Daniel. Before Daniel was through praying, as soon as he started, the answer was given to Gabriel. "Gabriel, take this message to Daniel. You'll find him already in prayer. But here's the answer. Our praying may be working even when we think it is not. Keep praying." Someone has said God has a shoreless ocean of response to the whispers of the prayers of his feeblest saint. And finally, remember that praying regularly was Daniel's constant practice, as we saw in the 6th chapter. And I'll read that text again. "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published," that is, not to honor any god but the god of the Babylonians, "he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem." It was the first thing he did. He heard that decree and said, "I've got to pray." 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. Undoubtedly, those 3 times all involved the same kind of confession and asking for forgiveness for himself and his people that we see here in chapter 9. 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. What a habit. Well, a simple conclusion is pray more, pray biblically, and pray to the glory of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this great example of an effective prayer. We pray that we would not see it as some kind of formula, but see it as involving confession, an understanding of who you are and what you have done, an appreciation and adherence to Scripture, a knowledge of your history with your people, and a rejoicing in your mercy and grace. May we use this to help us in praying to you more effectively, and in ways that honor you more. In Jesus' name, amen.